Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening smartly to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
Magical from Eden Hazard. Kai Havertz in the Champions League final. Ivanovic!
Yes. In the middle, it's just behind him. Intercepted by Hakimi. It's
Matic with the ball driver. Matic takes the net off.
It's time for another episode of At the Bridge Pod, your number one Chelsea FC podcast. Coming up on this episode,
I think we need to get the word out. We ain't back up. Oh, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. I'm joined in a virtual room. I've got one lion. It's not Chris. It's not Beth. It's Ollie. And Ollie, what was your moment from the weekend? You please have one. Don't have a quiet one. No.
All right. No, do you know what? I spent some time with my fiance this weekend. It's only 2 weeks now until our wedding. So you hit the bell if that's on your bingo card, me talking about my wedding. Got some good, nice little goodies bought. And we're about to book our honeymoon. So that's
nice. Cool. Where any destination in particular?
Just somewhere hot. Doesn't matter where. Just get me out of somewhere.
Won't be the UK. Will not be the UK. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Hey, someone's waiting. If you listen to Friday's show, everyone, and you did, because you're a loyal listener. If you're not and you've just started, then you're going to be really anticipating what I'm about to say, because I was eagerly anticipating the Old Firm derby. And let me tell you, it did not disappoint, did it? Celtic jumped ahead, 2-0 lead in the first half. Rangers looked like they were sleepwalking out there. But hold those horses, because Rangers clawed back to level the score at 2-2, only to just let it slip again right after kickoff. And just when you thought couldn't get any crazier, Matondo pulls off an absolute stunner in the 90th minute, makes it 3-3. And of course, to top it all off, we even got a little scuffle at the end. It was a proper derby. It ticked all the boxes I love in a derby game.
No one likes to see that, Mikey.
No scenes we don't like to see. And I was just like, this is the best game of the weekend I've seen. And
it was a good game.
It was one of the most enjoyable games as a neutral fan. It really was. So, hey, if you missed it, if you watch Sheffield United versus Chelsea instead, what are you doing? Don't do that. Yeah. Right. We'll hit some news, because there is actually something. Oh. There's only one topic bit of news this today, and I'm not prepared because I didn't click the link. There it is now. That's the exclusive report that Pete over at Footy Insider 24/7 has brought to the world. He has, and it's a report which I have now got in front of me, and it's that Chelsea have moved to steal a march on their rivals and seal a deal for Athletic Bilbao star Nico Williams. This is apparently sources that have told Football Insider. They're also, you know, if you want to say it properly, it's Athletic Club Bilbao, I believe. Athletic Club Bilbao, not Athletic Bilbao, but hey. Anyway, the Blues are trying to set up a deal for the player who won, obviously, the Copa del Rey on the weekend. He's got a release clause. We know 50 million euros. That's 43 million British pounds. And it's believed that we've decided to pursue a move for him after watching his performances closely this season. He penned a new deal at the club in December of 23, of course. But he's doing all right at the moment. He's helped, obviously, end their 40-year drought for a trophy. And he's notched 6 goals, 14 assists. That's 20 goals and assists contributions in 30 games across all competitions this term. Does that get you excited, Ollie? Does it? Or
good little player, isn't he?
Like, he's good.
I think that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. He's like, he's good, but is he good? Do you know what I mean? Like, he's good, but is he enough to take us up another level attacking wise? Maybe he is. Maybe he's not. I haven't watched him play that much, but from all I can see from the hype around him, it's good that we're at least in the conversation for this.
Yeah, I mean, he's among the leaders in La Liga for penalties won, successful dribbles, chances created, and cross accuracy this season. For me, that's quite important, considering, you know, everything. We don't seem to have enough. Weirdly, we don't have enough players making the prowess to attack. And I've seen some comments on social going, why do we need another wing player? Well, Nico is a left wing player. And if you watch the game over on the weekend, we don't have any of those because Gallagher played there. So, look, I feel that it'd be quite a good show. I mean, we don't know what the future is for Sterling.
And even someone like Madueke, we're not sure necessarily where he's going to be long term.
Yeah, and I know I did comment on this before weeks ago about his wages are going to be quite scary considering the tax break in Spain. The tax that they have to pay. It would work out his wage would be something stupid. I cannot remember the number I said. It was something ridiculously high, but. I don't know. I mean, 43 million isn't a lot of money considering, you know, his talent, and he fits the model, doesn't he? That we've just got to adapt to this new model that the club owners want. He is under 24, 23 or whatever the age gap is, but I don't know.
Yeah. That's the thing is I think the thing for me is like, if we're going to go for him, is there a chance that even close to a similar fee, we could get someone with more experience, with more winning mentality, you know, who's just all around better? Maybe we could.
He did just win a trophy, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's a difficult one. Oh, here it is. He's on apparently around 170, so it would come in about 300, 340, potentially, because obviously their tax is so high.
There's no way we'd ever pay him that kind of money.
No, so that's what I think people need to just chill. We're not going to be paying that.
The key thing for us signing Williams would be if he's willing to take a wage cut or if, you know, he's willing to agree to like an incentivized level of contract or whatever. Does he back himself for that?
Yeah,
as you see now, it's gone with our other players. Like, there's a lot of unknowns, but it's good to know in the race.
Yeah, but we need to. It's a wait and see, I feel, for that, because I feel it'd be pretty decent business. It depends who we're selling. That is the key thing for me. We can't really judge it until, you know, we can. So we just sort of have to wait. But listeners, let us know what you think of Nico Williams and potentially joining 43 million. Maybe.
That's a hall of fame quote, that is, by the way, from you. Yeah, you know, we might not be in, unless we are, in which case
he might be good. He might be good. He might not be. Hey. Right, time for the match report. And it's sponsored by...
Oh, once again, I've been had.
Sheffield United 2, Chelsea 2. Yes, once again, I've been had. I literally, Kent Brockman not have said it better.
Suck again.
We do. I mean, we do start with winners because we always start with winners. I did find, let me count how many I've got. I think I've got two. I did have two.
I've got two, yeah.
Chris did say he was going to send me his winners and losers list. And guess what? He did not. So,
everyone in the Discord has got to say how much Chris likes Enzo. And then tag him in it for that inexcusable. This is amateur hour.
Oh man, I've just messaged him on WhatsApp, listeners, so I'll let you know what happens if he does respond. But
we'll see if we get him.
Yeah, we might. I've got my two winners. I got my two, and first up was an old man. It's Thiago Silva.
Yeah, he was one of mine.
I mean, look, he returned to the pitch for the first time since February. Wow. And it was his milestone 100th appearance for the club. He marked it quite well, didn't he? I mean, he's a seasoned player. He proved his endurance and his prowess. I mean, look, despite recent weeks, we have sort of seen him on the bench, and we did question was it a personal thing, an injury thing? But look, apparently, it was not due to any lack of his merit, but rather he was committed, wasn't he, to nursing an injury like a true Chelsea player. That's what we're told anyway. So whether it was anything to do with the tweet, who knows? Who cares?
It probably was, but we'll never know.
We'll never know, will we? I mean, many forget that this dude is 40, you know, when he's coming up to it. You know, he might be renowned for his class. You know, he's like an aged bottle of wine, but he was probably lacking match fitness. And that kind of makes it challenging to start in this, you know, especially high-paced Premier League action after obviously being out for the time he has. But, you know, it was an impactful return, critical goal. I think he's going to be a vital asset considering our team going forward for the remainder of the season. But what made him a winner for you? Well, who knows? He probably dropped again. I haven't seen any tweets. I'm keeping an eye. There's no tweets yet.
The only reason he's playing is because of injuries at the moment. If Colwill and Badiashile were both fully fit to start, either of them would be playing alongside Disasi, you'd have thought. But, I know Badiashile has played, but I'm not sure if he's still 100% fit yet. For me, Silva's a winner, just because of the goal, really. You know, popped up early, gave us the lead. That's what we want from a corner. You know, nice actually to score from a set piece for a change. I don't know. There wasn't really much other than that, because, like, I can't really praise Silva for any of his defensive nous, because despite the fact that he scored a goal, we still conceded two goals again.
We did.
So, you know, it's... yeah, it's he's a winner for me, but he's like kind of half a winner for me.
I mean, it's I mean, I was just going to say, thinking of who could we have had play there? Well, we have a player called Wesley Fofana. I genuinely forgot. He's barely played. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I remember him.
That poor guy has just barely had a chance to play because of injuries. And hopefully he'll be back strong for next season. So hopefully. My second win. Oh, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, our squad on paper is mental, but it's also as frail as paper. So,
yeah. You know, I feel like it's wet tissue paper in a storm. It just falls apart very quick, doesn't it? That is us. My second winner is someone who the Discord pointed out, and it is. It's my man, Noni Madueke. And I'll say why, because he was consistently impressive. You know, he demonstrated to me a relentless drive to ignite the actual game, ignite opportunities. I saw throughout a direct approach for his attacking, you know, and that was commendable in me. I mean, showed determination. He was wanting to make things happen. I kind of feel, look, with the guidance of a skilled top coach, there's no doubt he possesses the potential to just ascend to the ranks of a top class player. You know what? Look, his prowess is undeniable. However, there's room. I'll give him the bad sandwich where you've got a compliment, you know, and then another compliment, because there is room for improvement, especially shooting. I mean, one major thing being stop leaning back when you shoot. Do you know what happens when you do that? It goes very high and wide.
There was that one he took, that one chance he took when he was on the edge of the box. I think it was, I can't remember which half it was in, but he sort of dribbled around a few players and he looked like Bambi on ice and then skied the ball.
it was like, can you not lean back? But hey, here's the good part of the sandwich again. That will come when he's being coached by a top coach. There you go.
We can say that about every player is their crap at the moment, and soon they're going to be better. They won't be.
What we're saying, listeners, is trust the process. Trust the process.
Don't.
Who's a winner? Who's your other winner?
Madueke is my other winner as well.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, I thought we were, you know, we're in sync a lot sometimes, Mikey, and it seems we are today.
Nice.
I just thought he took his goal really well. He was impactful. He was making things happen. I don't really have a massive amount of love for Madueke other than, like, how he plays sometimes. Like, I'm not as big a fan of his as you are, for example, Mikey. but I thought he really made a difference at times, and we would have lost without him.
Yeah, 100%. We moved to losers, but was this a win or a loser? I've got to cue it up.
With Trevor Chalobah, I'm just standing at the bar. With Trevor Chalobah.
I mean, is that
well, I mean, bar with bar. Oh.
It's probably why we just go Chelsea.
Yeah, to be fair,
not very good.
My mate, that tweet is from my mate Charlie. he was going back with the lads after the game, and I think they were just trying to make themselves feel better. You know, sort of like eight drinks deep or whatever at this stage in the game, having just had a horrible draw, which felt like a loss. And and that's what they came up with, rhyming bar with bar. So, you've got creativity classes, lads.
Is it worse than this? I mean, that just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. It's like, bloody hell. The Kai
we
Havertz
really are
song.
Bad at chance in this fan base.
I mean, that's not us. That's Arsenal. No. So, yeah,
I know that's not us. I know that's not us, but our chants are really bad. Like the Palmer one, like Palmer again. It's not good. We've got to come up with something more creative. I say that, but then, you know, every time I try and do one, it never works. So
no.
Maybe
oh man. Right, losers. I've got three.
I knew we were going to be short on personnel today, so I'm being Chris today. I've got four losers.
Well, I think Chris probably hasn't sent his list. He's still writing them out. He's not finished.
Yeah, to be fair, if he's not finished, he's written about 45 losers, hasn't he? So,
you know what? I'll kick it off.
I'll go with an honorary Chris loser, the midfield. We can move on now.
Yeah, that's fair. you know what? I have got... Man, you got to hear me out, listeners here. I've got Conor Gallagher at left wing. Because
that's not a hot take, dude. Don't worry.
I'm sure someone will go, you can't put Gallagher as a loser. I mean at left wing. Because playing him at left wing, it's just like trying to light up a room with a glow stick when you've got the best lighting system installed. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of talent. I mean, man, we've got Sterling. We've got Mudrick.
Think about the poor glow stick.
Yeah. I mean, look, that glow stick's just doing its best. But it's no good at doing that job. We've got Sterling. We've got Mudrick. That's our lighting system. And that's just chilling on the bench. Put them in. Poch. Play guys where they're supposed to be playing. We've said this so many times.
It really does say a lot what Pochettino either thinks of Gallagher or thinks of our left wing options, you know, to say that he's just choosing anyone and everyone to play just wherever they think it'll fit instead of like players in their actual positions. It drives me mad, man. It's hard because we can't judge Gallagher by that performance because he never plays at left wing. And if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, you know, like you're gonna be disappointed. But that's what Pochettino is doing. He's putting the fishbowl next to the tree and going, climb that.
Yeah.
What are you doing, mate?
It's just so bloody bizarre. And it just blew my mind. I don't know what he was thinking when that formation came out. Because I looked, and I know someone's going to say, well, how else does he get Madueke in? Because Cole Palmer goes central. That doesn't really change putting Gallagher at left wing. Just don't play him then. Put another player there.
Put him a bit further back if you have to. Yeah. Or change the formation, maybe, Pochettino. Maybe change it.
It just blew my mind. It really bloody did.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, especially with, we've got Achiampong at, they've got a bunch of talented players in the academy who can play like a full right back and stuff. And we're sticking De Zassi, 6'4" and, you know, 200 pounds out there. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, everything he does at the moment makes no sense to me.
Well, we've got Trevor Chalobah, who we were trying to sell as quick as possible in January and then in the summer. But we're going to start. I mean, I know our centre back issue is probably, you know, injuries don't help. That's fair. but I just don't know. I don't know. I mean, the season's pretty much... Oh, it's not dead, is it? It feels like it's dead, listeners. I know. But it's what? I just don't know what's going on. I mean, who's a loser for you?
First loser for me in four is Petrovic.
Yeah, I think Chris would have picked him.
Yeah, I just think that in the last few days, I think in three games now, he's had three mistakes. it doesn't feel... For me, I feel like he's kind of hitting that bumpy road in form now that all our players seem to eventually hit. They all eventually sort of seem to turn into Chelsea players. And Petrovic for the second goal in particular was really, really poor. I know he's trying to cover himself, make himself as big as possible, but you can't be getting beaten at your near post. You know, it's amateur hour for any goalkeeper. He'll be kicking himself for that mistake as well. It's really frustrating because Petrovic seems to be making mistakes at the... Like, all keepers make mistakes, but when they make them actually really matters. And Petrovic seems to make mistakes at the worst moments. And so that's just... Yeah, he's a loser this time because he'll bounce back, but yeah, he's a loser.
You know what? I'm going to actually throw in... This isn't actually on my losers list, but it is now. Did you know that we have VAR in the Premier League? Because
no, I didn't know that.
No, I don't think Paul Tierney or Robert Jones knew that as well. Between, you know, that in the Sheffield
the refs
United
were
and Chelsea.
Shocking.
Game.
I mean, but to be honest, even with the refs on Sheffield's side, we should have still won.
It's not even that. The Robinson tackle on Palmer.
Yeah,
he got a yellow for that. He got yellow. He levels him studs first.
I thought that was
Gusto hard. Got a red for getting the ball on his foot, slipped over the player and hit the player afterwards. That was a red card. This is not a
well, we all know there's no consistency and the rules change week to week. And so there's no point trying to get upset about it, because what works this week will magically not work next week.
No.
And know, it, or like, what was a red card tackle this week?
Apparently, next week? They didn't miss it. They did review it and ignored it. You can't say that you looked at that and went, not a red. Wow.
Yeah, like what really annoyed, maybe it's just that they didn't think it was enough of a mistake. You know, it's not clear and obvious error, is it, to overrule it? And they can't overrule yellow cards VAR.
That could have been an ankle or a leg break. I've got to say,
it was a bad tackle.
It was pretty bad. It was bad officiating, but
I've seen people get arrested for less. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'll go with my second loser, which feels like a Chris loser here, because I've got the entire squad. There's a reason here. Man, I mean, the Chelsea's performance against Sheffield United for me was just downright painful to watch. I mean, we're talking about a team we're playing against with a negative 52 goal difference. That's negative 52.
Yeah, they're on track to concede 80 goals this season.
It's like showing up to a buffet and finding empty trays. I mean, and it gets worse, though. Gets worse, though, listeners, because, you know, the Gallagher thing, you know, I questioning the lineup decisions Poch made. But from from minute zero, it was like watching a horror movie where the main characters just keep making the same stupid mistakes over and over. You know, opening the Twitter app up to just see Gallagher playing at left wing against this team, you know, when we could have had, you know, Mudrick or Sterling at left wing. You know, it's straight away. That's like seeing the haunted house for sale and thinking, we'll buy that one, guys. That's a good move. Yeah, what could go wrong? That's what it is. It's a basic mistake before we even kicked off.
Yeah, you're completely right. It's like going into you're going to do pistols at dawn with somebody and deciding to, instead of loading your gun with bullets, loading it with like the flag that says bang.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I mean, just, and then during the game as well, we found ourselves constantly pinned in our own half after we scored. What? This is like, we've no respect here, sorry, but this is Sheffield United negative 52 goal difference.
They've been beaten, one of the worst Premier League teams of all time.
They've been beaten. I think it was, I saw a graphic that was like 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, ridiculous scorelines, and changes.
Brighton,
no,
we aspire to be put 10 past them. So
I'm hoping not in one game, because that'd be really embarrassing for us.
So it was, I think, 10-2 on aggregate, but like it was, but just I can't get behind the way that we're playing at the moment. I really can't. It just makes no sense to me.
Burnley put 5 past them.
Burnley. Well, to be fair, then that makes sense, because we drew with them.
Newcastle put 8 past them.
Yeah, oh, they're one of the worst Premier League teams of all time. And Charity FC just always there. Make a wish FC whenever you need it.
I mean, we didn't even make any changes for 66 minutes. And I'll say it as I see it with this. The overall performance was nothing short of embarrassing. And I mean, to cast your minds back to a decade ago, results like this would usually have heads rolling at a club like Chelsea. I mean, we cannot be affording to drop points against teams like Sheffield United, especially when they are sitting rock bottom of the table.
It's the same with Burnley. It's the same story, though, isn't it, Mikey? Because like,
yeah, everyone involved just has to take a long, hard look in the mirror after that performance. They cannot say, I mean, there's a few exceptions, you know, Madueke, we touched on Silva and that, but the rest of them can't look and go, I did all right. Did you?
No, obviously they didn't. And it's really frustrating to see that after that Burnley performance, where Pochettino actually said, we need to have a look at ourselves, we need to try harder, we needed to challenge the players, and he did. And then we produced that performance, which was poor against Man United as well, but we turned it around, won it in the last second because of some luck, really. Mm. And then to have immediately after that, so after not only getting a kick up the arse from the manager, but also getting that big win for confidence, to then go into a game against a team like Sheffield United and play like that's inexcusable.
I mean, it's a worry, because, you know, look at last season. I know I feel this season's better in elements than last season. However, last season, Southampton did the double over us. Ugh. Remember that, you know, and geez. I mean, who's another loser for you? I've got one more. I think everyone can guess who it is. It's not myself.
I've actually got 3 more, because we've just been upset.
Wow.
My next one is someone who I really like in the squad, but absolutely deserves to be on the loser list, and that's Cole Palmer. And it's nothing to do.
Wasn't his best game, but he still got an assist.
And you can always count on Palmer for that. You can always count on Palmer to get you goals and assists and to make things happen. But his pressing was absolutely diabolical. He was playing at attacking mid. I think that was to facilitate Madueke out on the right. He was playing in the 10. And he just wasn't pressing at all. He was walking around, strolling around. And that is just absolutely inexcusable. I don't care who you are. The basics of football is pressing and pushing and working hard for the team, no matter how important you think you are to this team. And he really didn't show that. And it's a real frustration against Palmer, who is a player I really like. And it's a bit of a worry against him as a player and as him as a person in games and stuff. He was the player, if I remember rightly, that when they were analysing the goals that we conceded against Luton, and he said, "Oh well, I don't have to track back," and he was just laughing about it. Like that kind of defensive, lack of team play will not be tolerated here. I don't care if he scored 30 goals a season. If you're not going to run, you shouldn't play.
It's such a weird thing that seems to happen. It's kind of good. I was looking at our fixtures, and as much as some people will naturally panic and go, how can you be excited about those? I actually am, because we've got Everton on Monday. We'll probably get beat there, probably. But we then have City in the FA Cup. We'll get up for that game, because look what we always do.
We might play well.
We always seem to match the level of who we're playing. It's weird. And so naturally, playing a less team in the league, we match that level. So we've got obviously City in the FA Cup. Well, that'd be a good. We'll probably match their level. Then Arsenal. Well, that's all right. Villa. Oh, okay. Then Spurs. Oh, watch us have.
That's four wins, boys.
It went terribly wrong. And if you wonder, how do we end the season, Mike? Well, we end it against Bournemouth. That's going to be a fun ride.
We're ending it with no points. At least we're staying up this season. Oh.
Well, yeah, that's true. We're not worried about that. Who's another loser for yourself? He's on mine, but I'll go on that in a minute.
It was just all wrong. The setup was all wrong. The players were all wrong. The effort was all wrong. And ultimately, we all know that does come down to the manager as well. Then after the game, the stupid comments he was making about the team. When he's been backed as much as he had, you're a manager. You've got to find solutions. I'd be so much less harsh on Pochettino if he wasn't constantly making a rod for his own back. If we're in a situation where we've had so many injuries this season, use the academy, use the youth, and he just refuses to do it at any opportunity, playing De Sassi at right back or Gallagher at left wing or Chilwell at left wing or whatever, these weird experiments that we've seen out through the season, because he's too lazy and he doesn't, just doesn't want to, I guess, bother to get to know an academy player. There's no reason why these guys shouldn't be playing due to the lack of personnel that we've got on hand. There just isn't. And it's just so frustrating to see it week after week after week.
Do you think he was too honest post game?
Maybe, but also I can understand where he's coming from with what he said. A draw is fair. Probably was fair on the balance of the game. And then he also saying that maybe we're not ready to compete as a team. Lampard said the same thing a few years ago, but I don't think people considered that harsh at the time, and we were a young team then. The difficulty comes in is the fact that he obviously is saying this in the context of the game against Man United and also the game against Burnley, where we just haven't risen to the level that we should do. And he said maybe three games a week is too much for this young team. But I don't like that personally. I think he's a little bit maybe he's not wrong, but also he needs to take responsibility for that and be a part of the reason we lost as well. Like, we didn't have any subs until the 75th minute. And let me just run them through.
Chukwuemeka
for Cole Palmer at the 75th minute would have made that change at about an hour. Then Mudryk came on for Madueke at 82 minutes. What's he going to do with 10 minutes to go? Then you've got Badiashile and Cassidy both came on late in 90+3, and then we immediately conceded. So the substitutions were all wrong. The game plan was all wrong. Cucurella, here's a fun stat for you. Cucurella was the only Chelsea player to win possession in the final.
Oh,
Against Sheffield, I mean, against one of the worst teams ever in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's the thing. When they're talking about, he was saying about the process takes time, you know. But what process do we need to beat the team that sits 19th and 20th?
This annoyed me as well, because people are saying, oh, you know, I still believe in Pochettino and all of that stuff. And I was saying, listen, we're not expecting to challenge for the title in 8 months, but we are expecting Burnley and Sheffield. That isn't, you know, that shouldn't be a grand expectation to ask at this juncture. And I think for him, it shows a fundamental failure on his behalf to motivate the players, have a tactical plan, and to actually work within the structure of the damn club who hired you.
Yeah. Dropping points happens in games. It does happen. It sucks, but it happens. But we've not been the better team on the day. That's even worse. I mean, why is Poch a loser for me? I mean, dreadful Stein 11. Lack of urgency in changing it up with the lack of subs, as you touched on. And away from this game, we've seen all season, it's an inability to coach structure into this squad. I mean, if he did, then it would allow the 11 that he puts out to control games from these kind of positions. You know, we could all see Sheffield United were getting way too much of the game. And instead of like a smart move to take the game to them, Poch sort of runs away and tries to shut up shop instead. That's not Chelsea. I mean, this wasn't against like Man City, Liverpool, or, you know, a high flying European giant who, oh, we best shut up shop here, you know, close the doors. You know, this was against one of the worst teams in the Premier League's history. It was like watching the Hulk get dominated by Stuart Little. Yeah. Just ridiculous. I could not believe when he did go, oh, 2-1, best close the doors. I'm like, but this isn't again, like I said, it's not City, it's not Liverpool. This is Sheffield United. And you've just gone, can't risk that. I mean, what's that message that he's sending? That's the problem.
And the problem is, as well with that, is that the way he coaches us, it means no one's afraid to play us, you know? Like everyone will have a go at us like that because...
Why would you do?
Because they know they can get at us, especially the teams like Forest or Burnley or Sheffield or Luton or whoever else. Yeah. You know, like, they know they can hurt us because every single time we underestimate these teams. And I just don't understand whether it's Pochettino doing that, if it's the players doing that, if it's both of them. I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it.
It's so bizarre. I mean, you could throw a striker in there. That doesn't solve our defensive issues. I mean, I know Chris talked about Petrovic, and obviously he's not here today. He might do on Friday or Thursday
the
Petrovic situation.
Again, at the near post is unforgivable for a Premier League goalkeeper. You've got to do better there.
It just wasn't. It wasn't great. The overall game just wasn't.
The overall game was indicative, I think, of our season as a whole. And actually, our season is my final loser because, despite what you said earlier, Mikey, for me, the season is dead. Like, we are gathered here today.
We got the
to
FA
celebrate
Cup.
The life of this season. Because it is. No, it doesn't matter though. We're playing City. We're not. You know, we're playing City. They're probably going to beat us anyway. If we do rise to the occasion and beat them, then we've got Man United in the final at Wembley. There's no way.
Coventry. Don't underestimate Coventry.
Even Coventry would beat us at Wembley, mate. For me, there's no chance of us winning the FA Cup. Any chance of us getting any decent European competition may as well not happen. For me, I've been so depressed today because I've just been thinking about our season and I've been thinking about the fact that we've wasted a year of development on these players with this coach. I feel like we've just wasted so much time. We already started this project a step back. Right, we arguably started it a few steps back and we're even further behind now, the top teams, than we were than when we started it. How can that be? For me, this season's just been a total write-off, man. If I could, I would scrap it and just have everyone go to Cobham and just train until next season.
Well, I mean, it is depressing. You know, 3 shots on target all game. Oh, there was no structure
against Luton, man. No, against
Sheffield. We were wide open as well at times. That was another thing. I mean,
And the thing is, if you look at something like the momentum graph or whatever, or if you want to look at it at like expected goals or total shots or whatever stat you want to use to look at it, Sheffield were better than us. They were absolutely better than us, and they deserve to get points out of us. And it's just, it's a truly, truly shocking indictment for where we are as a club right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Emojis. I've got shrug because I expected it. Because that is what mid-table teams do. And that is, I don't like saying that. You know, especially after the Thursday. I mean, that was, we were, yeah, yeah. But we did warn you, listeners, on that as well. We did warn you. It's not like we just went, eh, be fine. I mean, what about you for
a
an emoji?
Stone. Easy. This season's dead for me. Like if we get anything out of this season now, I will put a zombie emoji as one of our emoji reviews one day. But I just can't see us getting anything out of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we move to our Lions of the weekend, because we did hope on Friday, didn't we? We had Chukwuemeka and Sterling. Well, there we go.
One barely played and the other didn't,
So pretty much. We do have a question. We do have a question in our Charisma's questions, and it's Farian who's asked us, has the mindset become that we are a mid-table team? I would say yes.
Yes, I would.
Because we play like one.
Well, because we're two seasons in now to this project or whatever you want to call it, and we've barely moved an inch. If this is what we're expected to be, then this is what we're going to have to be, for all of our mental health's sake. None of us are going to be truly satisfied until we're back at the top. And to be honest, I don't see that happening for a long time. We've got what the thing is at the moment, we've got a clueless manager. We've got sporting directors who don't know how to build a squad. We've got owners who don't know how to hire everyone. And we've got a team that can't play together. So it's and three of those four things are going to be staying for the best part of what, 10 years?
Yeah.
What changes? Where do we go from here? You can bank on a manager. You can bank on trying to get a new coach, whether it's Slot or De Zerbi or Amorim or whoever in the summer. But is it going to actually change anything? I'm not sure it is.
Yeah. I mean, Rob on the Discord asked if there was a difference between top four and mid-table. Is the difference between having individual quality and the cohesiveness of quality individuals?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't disagree. I mean, I don't know what... I mean, we joke and we say about they can become Chelsea level. We could sign Osman. He'd become Chelsea. There is a worry that, oh dear, all this, and they become like the rest. I don't know. That I just don't. I mean, I keep thinking it's experience or it's a competent manager. I mean, we probably really shouldn't have gone straight to Potter and then straight to Lampard, Potter.
I had this thought the other day. If you swap them around, if you had Potter first still, if then you had Pochettino as the interim and Lampard as the coach this season, would we be doing any better or worse?
I just think Lampard as a Premier League manager, I think he's just.
I agree, the top level. Do you think we'd be doing any worse? I'm not sure we would be.
I don't know. It just didn't really work though under Potter, did it? I mean, that's
no, it didn't. But
and we do look. Yeah. We have more. The stats are slightly better this season than last. That's a really, I know that's a clutch of straws. That straw is so small, but it's what I'm clutching at. I ain't got much else to say to that, really. That sums us up. It sums it up, doesn't it, listeners? It really does. Hey, thanks for listening, at least. I know you were like, oh, I don't know what to do. I mean, another negative result, and it was.
I know. Another miserable at the therapy pod.
Yeah, but hey, you got another 7 days left before we play again. So you got a little break.
A beautiful reprieve.
treat yourself well during those 7 days, because we'll be back later on in the week, probably with another fantasy draft, because there's not much any midweek action. There's some Champions League action, but of course, we're not in that competition and we won't be for a while. So don't book. You can book whatever you want during the midweek. You can do whatever you want, because you ain't going to be busy watching us in Europe. You're really not. So yeah, till the back end of the week. That'll be us signing off. You've been listening to At The Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram by searching for At The Bridge Pod. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, leaving us a review is always appreciated.